Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and this is a Tackle Tuesday.
Why is it a Tackle Tuesday, Steph?
Well, because our big subject of the day is Bigfoot, and you know, we always got to tackle Bigfoot.
Trying to tackle Bigfoot,
yes.
Yeah. No one's tackled him yet.
No one's tackled him yet that we know of.
We haven't. No.
So, you know, that is something that...
That'll be our topic tonight, how to tackle Bigfoot. Sort of.
Or he would probably tackle me and take me out into the woods and I'd never see anybody again, right?
I mean, if anybody's going to get tackled, it'd be you, because you would fall down.
Yes.
And then the rest of us would run. Yes. And you would fall, and then he would be able to tackle you and drag you away.
Yes. So, yes.
That's how we know it would go down.
Throw me over his shoulder like a sack of potatoes and there I would go. Yep. You know.
Yep. Pretty much sums it up. Right there. Well, that won't happen that way. We know, Steph, that won't happen that way. But if it did, you would be the one that fell.
And wouldn't that be quite the experience, though? I mean, I'm just saying.
You know, would we know what the experience is? Because would you be able to tell us? I don't know.
It might not ever surface again, right? Yeah. I mean,
you might enjoy living with the Bigfoot so much that you would just want to stay.
Maybe. You know, I don't know. I don't know. That's kind of
iffy. I don't know how it's going to work. You kind of hope it happens, and then you kind of hope it doesn't at the same time.
And you know, we will be way up in the northern wilderness this weekend.
Coming up.
For the big guy. So you just never know. Lots of sightings up there. We don't know what we'll find. And you know, with my knee, I'm not sure I can run very far. So he might just be able to scoop me right up, right? But we always say we're looking for the big girl. I mean, what if it's a girl Sasquatch?
Then she might be meaner.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I'm not saying Bigfoot's mean.
No,
I think that they could be very gentle. I'm just saying that, you know, how mamas can be if there's any youngins.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. Just be careful. I told you to wear a knee brace.
Avoid
the possible damage.
I know. Well, my knee's already damaged bad. So
help yourself out.
Doesn't matter.
Trudging in the woods. You got to set yourself up for success.
That's right. So, oh my gosh. Well,
What you've got going on. That's good.
That's what I've got going on. Yes. We're leaving at 6:00 in the morning on Friday. My God. 6:00 in the morning.
That's not bad.
It'll be great. It'll be great. It'll be grand. Takes a
while.
You
need the time to drive. That's
there.
Why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a long way up there. So anyway, how about you?
It's going very well. Very busy. I found a new studio.
You did?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's happened really quickly. And actually, it's in the same building. So, which is least likely option that I thought ever would happen. And then it happened and it just totally manifested and just boom, boom, boom.
Awesome.
So Anyway, I'm hoping that I can move maybe next week.
Serious?
Yeah, like it's that fast. So
after our show, then you'll move, right? Because we're going to be live at the studio next week, right?
Yeah, that'll be our last time at the current studio.
At that studio, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, so you and Kristen and I will be there for our last show in that studio, and then I'll be moving and have a different space, and it'll be awesome, and I can't wait for you guys to see it.
I love it.
And but it's been a lot of work, a long process, but it'll be worth it because we'll be able to really spread out, and especially like we've talked about, there's so many different kinds of classes and events that I like to have. I want to have. Yeah, I haven't been able to do a lot of the stuff with COVID, you know, because we want to spread out and stay safe. And so this will help bring some of those events and classes back to bring them back in and keep people safe at the same time. So I'm very excited about that. And I'll keep you all updated, and I'll put, you know, pictures out, of course, as I get things set up, and I'll make a little, maybe a Facebook Live or something and do a little video. So. Yes. Anyway,
well,
yeah,
it'll be cool. We definitely have to take lots of pictures next week then, because it'll be the last time in the studio. So
I know. Well, and I might
maybe
be already
we can do a little live. Then, so we'll do a little live event at 7:30 before.
Yeah, we
should.
Could. We could do a little bit of a live.
Yeah, for sure. Well, okay. So I'm excited about our guest tonight, Heidi.
Me too. This is going to be fun. I've been looking forward to this one for a while, actually, because we've been planning it for quite a few weeks, but I've been wanting to do this for more than a few weeks.
Well, you know, our guest is fantastic and amazing, and I've known him for many years. And everyone, welcome in Carter Bouchard to the gathering. Hi, Carter.
Howdy.
How the heck are you?
I'm stunning. When you said Tackle Tuesday, I thought you went Taco Tuesday.
Oh.
I'm going, almost because better. Your accent, your Minnesota accent, I went, well, that's Taco Tuesday. I'm going, Taco? Well, yeah, Sasquatch loves tacos. I know they do, you know. Little gophers and turtle tacos. I mean, why not?
Yes.
So
yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, thanks for having me back. This is fun. This will be fun.
Yes. Well, absolutely. We're excited to have you here because you're always so fun to talk to, you know, and you've been such a good, you know, when Squatchers started out, you were really there for us and you taught us a lot and you told us when we did things wrong, you weren't shy. And I'm really glad you were that way. And you calmed us down. You calmed me down anyway. Calm me down when I'd call you. And you were fantastic. And I still do call you, but you have a couple of books out now. So we're excited to talk to you about them too.
Awesome. I'm ready. Yeah. When I woke up 2 years ago, I had no intention of writing a book, but you know, all this information and some other books I read that some I liked, some I didn't, I'm going, you know, I've got to start talking about some of this stuff because people are coming out of the woodwork with more than your pedestrian Sasquatch cross the highway in front of my car or was watching me while I was fishing. They're just coming out. And then after the first book came out, the floodgates opened and there was even more. And it's just like, I got to write some of this. Because, you know, I'm a BFRO investigator. So I've been doing that with them for, I don't know, 12 years. I've had almost 100 reports published to BFRO. And so, but a lot of those people, after they explained their sighting that they called in about in the first place, then they would go, well, here's something you're not going to believe. And then they would tell you the really good stuff that they'd been laughed at or scoffed into silence, you know, by people very close to them, spouses, coworkers, lifelong friends, family members. I mean, and so it just was gushing. And I'm going, oh, my God, you know, you suspect it, but you never really, you know, how do you go about it? But I didn't have to do any work. You know, people just started talking because, you know, as we talked, and some of them knew of my belief system and some didn't. But we were interviewing each other, really, because they were saying, I want to talk. I got to tell somebody, is this guy safe? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When someone knows that you will believe them, and they feel safe, they'll tell you exactly what's going on. And yeah. It's such a relief, too, for them that they have that safe space to share something that feels unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, and that was really it. Some of these people have been sitting on this for decades. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been affected, you know, deeply. Some of the people we were scheduled to talk, and then I'd call them. They say, you know, I changed my mind. I can't go through this again. Just like my guy up in Canada. You know, I can't relive this right now. I want to. I know I need to, but I just can't right now. So I get it. I get it. You've been quiet for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. What's another 6 months or a year? I mean, really, you know, it's your peace of mind. So if you're not troubled, well, by all means, just wait until you have the courage or the strength.
Yes.
Have a couple of beers in you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we find that too, because, you know, we do our little squatch chats all over Minnesota, and wow, people, you know, they check you out. They really do. They check you out. You know, we do a little presentation first, and then they kind of check us out, and then they decide if they like us or not. But then they almost always, then the stories come, you know, and they tell us what they've seen. And, you know, like the First Nations people, you know, I mean, they're especially the ones that would sit back and watch us. But then invariably, they took us right in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And First Nations people, it's in their belief system anyway.
I mean, the
Sasquatch exists, period. So that's like they're raised with that. That's just a matter of fact. Like the sky is blue, the ocean's green, and I believe in Sasquatch because it's part of my culture. And so you don't have to. They're just taught not to talk to it. You just don't talk to outside the tribe, and you know, and the indigenous peoples. You just don't talk to us, the enemy, anybody outside. Not just white people, but anybody. You just don't talk about it outside the tribe because it's a special thing. So I get all that. So it's always flattering when people.
Oh gosh, yes. And we've had such, like I said, it's so flattering for me that they've just taken us right in there. I mean, on all the major reservations, you know, and they've said, you come back here anytime. We'll watch out for you. Just let us know you're here so that we can, you know, and we're a bunch of girls, right? So that's nice to have that kind of network of safety, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, not just a bunch of girls.
Well,
I was going to say stuff. Hey, no.
I saw Heidi rolling her eyes there. She's going,
I did.
I have a chat.
You know, we're not the big burly guys out there with the guns and the knives and, you know, whatever. We're just little women.
We don't want to be. Well,
you know what those guns and knives do in the hands of burly men and women when they find the Sasquatch? Absolutely nothing. They're absolutely,
absolutely nothing.
Useless. You're too scared to do anything.
I know.
So, you know, carry a gun. I guarantee you. I've had one guy who said he shot him and hit him. And he went to and saw the blood. So, but other than that, I don't know anybody except this one guy. And it's in a report that shot one. Most guys tell me I was looking right at it, and it's too human. I couldn't do it. I could have taken the shot, and I couldn't do it.
Yep. Well, I think more so people take them into the woods for safety from other people, for example. I know you once said that to me. You said, do you carry heat when you go out? And I said, absolutely not. And you said, do I have to worry about you? Because I'm worried about the people up there. And I said,
yeah.
You know, we so rarely see people up in the woods up here. It's virtually, but I hear you. You know, closer
to the city. Ran into some drug dealers in Missouri. Had a gun pulled on myself and another researcher at the time. And,
yeah,
it was a weird experience, and they were not at all friendly until we finally told them what we're doing there. Oh, you're looking for Sasquatch? Oh, F&A, man, that's cool. Wow. And then just everything changed, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it changed from, you know, patting his gun. I said, you guys need to get out of here, I tell you, because this is my property, even though we're in a public park. We're in a, you know, parkway. Forest. And so he was, you know, threatening us, you know, that was the funny thing. Once he found out what we're doing, we had to tell him some stories and tell him how many we'd seen in this area. I mean, it was just like this pistol on my hip that I was patting earlier and threatening you with? Ah, forget that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the weirdest thing.
Do you carry a weapon then?
I carry a sidearm, like a pistol. Okay. But it's because of that, I never did until then. Because I'm not a hunter. I never have hunted, but I am more worried about the humans. And
these
guys were, cooking meth, probably. They weren't popping, but you could tell from their physical appearance they were meth heads. Mm-hmm. So, and they had something cooking in a little bitty cemetery that everybody had forgotten about at the end of this road.
Oh, nice.
And that's where all the relatives were buried, and that's why they wanted to know how come we were there. But we just happened to be parked, 100 yards away and decided to pitch a tent, and they just didn't like it. Yeah. Weird. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, but, yes, you don't know what you're going to run into in the woods. So, and, speaking of that, the new book that I'm rewriting is, it's increased in size by about 35%, which went from 147 pages to 217, I think that's where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff,
Yes.
And it's really, I'm not of the dumb ape in the woods clan. I am of the, paranormal quantum, at least.
Yes.
I think they cross both worlds. They're physical beings when they have to be, and they want to change their vibrational frequency and go somewhere else or slip into another dimension.
If
it's entirely possible, I've seen a couple of things that changed my mind, 7 years ago, 2013 to 14 was like my, okay. And then 2019 sealed the deal. Mm-hmm. So, either they are flesh and blood and we're just dummies and can't figure out where they're hiding. And so we assign these other skill sets to them because, we can't find them, so they must be, paranormal or quantum or interdimensional beings, Well, that's just your excuse for not being able to find them. How about they really are that, instead of just saying, I don't know, how come there's no body and all those cliched comments and stuff, but they can do things. I've seen things, through my thermal. I've had an experience with my wife and I took her to a place that is very active. And, you know how it is when you take somebody somewhere and say, I'm going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will ever happen. Mm-hmm. Well, that something did happen. So
mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, it was cool. But I've been convinced since before then, but since 2013-14, when I was leading a BFRO expedition, and one just vanished in front of my eyes through my mm-hmm. throat. Just poof, went away.
Mm-hmm.
The heat signature just blew up. There was like little smoke rings. It looked like somebody blew a Sasquatch smoke ring. That's what mm-hmm. it really looked like. It came from behind a tree. I'm looking at it. It walks, boom. The heat signature just poof. And there's just this little outline. And it just dissipates into the night. It's about 11:30 at night. And you go, I'm not high. I'm not drunk. My camera is a FLIR. It's a very nice FLIR. It's not malfunctioning. That just happened, and I cannot even begin to explain it away. It took me about 2 seconds to go, I can't dismiss that. That happened.
Mm-hmm.
What? You believe it, but until you actually see it,
right.
And you go, okay. Now I'm on the right track, because
absolutely.
You can't. The flesh and blood only, and they do operate, I think, on both levels, many levels. We just don't know all the levels, but, I think they can come and go as they please, and I think, that they have to operate and obey our laws of physics here on Earth for the most part, but if they get in certain situations and want to do something, go somewhere else, they disobey mm-hmm. the laws of physics as we know it,
mm-hmm.
as we're told by science and the government. They would never lie to us, of course.
No, they would never. Never.
So, but You got any questions, or you're trying me to just start yakking?
Well, I know that Heidi has a list. So
I do have a small list.
A small list. So I was waiting for her to.
Right.
So what I want to do, though. She can ask you some questions. Okay.
Well, what I'd like to do first is just make sure people know your books that are available right now. You have Sasquatch Evidence of an Enigma, which was your first book that you've also rewritten. So there's a second version of it that just came out last month, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that's Down the Rabbit Hole.
Sasquatch Down the Rabbit Hole of Strangeness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Down the Rabbit Hole of Strangeness. So that's your first book and then the rewrite. And your second book, Sasquatch Evidence of an Enigma 2, which also has a rewrite. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm holding my copy up here.
Yeah.
My other copy here.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the first two books, and they are both, one has been rewritten. The second one is in process, which you mentioned a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. has like another 5 chapters to it, right?
Yeah, I added 50 some odd pages to it so far.
Yeah. So that's,
I'm trying to find a place to stop. So
you might just need another book, maybe.
Yeah. You might need number 3. Yeah.
Right. Just write a third book and you'll be all set. So anyway, I just want people to know what your books are so they can go and get those. They're available through your website, correct?
Well,
Relic Hominid.
My two books, my original two, these two, I sell on my website. Mm-hmm. And that's a deal I have worked out. I signed a deal with Beyond the Fray Publishing, so I can get rid of what I got, these two here. And then you can buy on Amazon the Kindle or the paperback version of the new book. Mm-hmm. Which, Steph, you probably need to hold that up because I don't even have a copy yet.
Right? Oh, yeah. No, I have it on my tablet. Yeah. So
you can buy that on Amazon. And it's cheap. They're black and white. My books were color, but these are the new one is black and white. Keep the cost down.
But if you get it on the Kindle version, all the pictures and stuff are in color. And the cool thing about that, Carter, is that you can enlarge those pictures on the screen and really have a good look at them, you know?
Yeah, so, some of them are actually worth looking at. I mean,
they're cool.
Oh, yeah. I think the pictures in the book are cool. And I do like that the ones that I ordered from you directly are the color books. Because I do appreciate the color. You can get a little bit clearer image with the photos, which I do like that. So thank you for getting those out to me. And they have been read. And I'm excited because, yes, I have questions. And some of my questions, they're around how you view what you found in the woods, which is different sometimes than what we see from other researchers, whether, you know, we've seen groups at different cryptid cons or on TV or whatever. So these were some unique ideas. At least I haven't heard them. So, and they might be out there and that's fine, but I just thought they were pretty cool. So here are some of my questions. All right. Okay. So the first one, when you were showing the stick structures, right, with the X figures in them, describing male and female Bigfoot, right? So you could see the pattern of a male or female in the stick structure. So could you talk about that for just a couple of minutes?
Yeah, well the male and female, the X and the X with a circle, which is very hard to mimic in a structure, but I based all that on doing some research on Native American symbology and what those signs, because I think they have had for thousands of, maybe tens of thousands of years, a symbiotic relationship with each other. And so they learned, a language, or they learned the structures, or trading and hunting. They traded things. They were cohabitating the earth at that time. So I think that's where they learned their structures. And I did research on the Native American symbology, and those, among others, but those are the most common and easily duplicated with just a couple of structures, a couple of branches. Now, the one for the female is an X with a circle over, but you would almost either have to balance a fruit or a rock on an X up against a tree so that that would hold itself. So I think, seeing the glyphs on the ground is more likely for the female. But the X, the triangle is sort of a welcome, and the X is either male or female. If you can, they'll put something up there for the head on the female. The male is just the X. Mm-hmm. So, and that's just little things like that. So and I'm looking at structures, and I have a couple of research areas I go to on a regular basis, and there's a teepee structure there. It's about 7 or 8 really big logs, about 20 feet long. They're really tall trees. None of them have been cut. But at times they'll be added or subtracted from. Like I'll get there and there'll be, you know, 9 instead of 7, or 7 instead of 9, or 10 instead of 11. So they'll, and I don't know if that's actually, I can't tell, because a human can do that. So I can't attribute it to a Sasquatch. You know, there's no extra meaning in something. I think somebody's, you know, camping at that spot and decides, oh, I want to put a stick, I want to put a stick on this, so it's mine, or take one away just to show you I can do it, or whatever. So it's interesting because they are communicating, not necessarily to us, but they're communicating to other Sasquatch, because we really don't know. That's their hidden language, the symbology, you know. So that's their hidden language. So they're talking to one another right in front of us, and we have no clue, because as most people who go camping, you're just going to go, oh, that's cool. That's kind of weird. I wonder how that happened. Oh, well, let's go to the lake. Let's go fishing. And, you know, that's not high on the list of curiosity items, except for a few select few people. You know, there they go. Well, that is weird. You know, how'd they do that? And so in the book, I talk about how does that happen randomly? Well, if you say, well, that can happen in nature. You take 5 chopsticks, throw them up in the air. How long will it take for you to get 5 sticks in a teepee or some kind of interwoven structure? Right. You'll die before it happens. So then you go, well, you've only got 2 choices. You've got a minute possibility of nature, or somebody with opposable thumbs. And then you've only got 2 choices.
Right.
So they're basically, they're just communicating. They're communicating right in front of us, and we just don't really have a clue yet. You know, we're working on it.
What do you think the point is of showing a male symbol or a female symbol? Like, what do you think their communication is to each other for that reason?
If you just see the, I'm just, you know, I'm single. Hey.
Oh.
You know, or male and female, it's a family. We don't yet have a kid. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, this is our union. You know, this is my mate. These are we're each other's mates. So it could be something as simple as that. And so if another clan sees it, and I break it down into, it could be possibly the species of trees, you know, is a pine or a cedar or an aspen. Does that mean something in a certain region, or is it just going way too out there, you know? But does a pine or a cedar or an oak branch used for symbology, does that have a meaning over another species of tree, depending on how you use it with the X? I mean, you know, the language, you know, can be much more complex than just looking at that X.
Right.
You know, so that's, you know, I think they're letting other clans and groups or couples, whatever group is out there, hey, we're here. And I think they're quite aware of where each other's at, but hey, I'm hunting over here today, or I'm over here, I'm near here, just letting you know we're here. I mean, it's just a simple thing, you know, just like leaving a voice message or a text. Hey, came by your house, you weren't there. Yep. We were here. You know,
it's like,
you know,
you were there, you weren't.
But
I left a post-it note on your door. It's a big X with 2 different types of trees.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's clever. You know, because like you said, you pass something like that in the woods and go, huh, that's interesting. I mean, as a Sasquatch researcher, you might take another look at it, but even just the X, you might kind of keep going and think, oh, that's weird, you know, but then reading about it in your book, I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting that, yeah, maybe that is, you know, a marker of some kind or a calling card or, you know, and then using the different types of trees based on the different clans or, you know, whatever message they're trying to relay is also interesting, because that can give so many different layers or meanings to it than on top of just the symbol. So very cool.
It's theory, but
right it's, for sure, but it's cool.
It's outside
theory.
The box, but you know, if I'm in, oh, they can't do that, well then that means nothing. But I think it does mean something. You add it in context of all the other stuff you hear, the calls, the knocks, you know, the kills, and the sightings of people, period, seeing them, you know, there's something there, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it just makes sense to consider everything. Like I said in the book, it's kind of cliche now. It's kind of like it's the Brussels sprouts theory. I don't really like Brussels sprouts, but I'm going to put them on my plate just to make the host happy, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't really have an open mind, but I'm going to pretend like I have one. So I'm going to put all these ideas on a plate, and I'll just move them around like I'm, you know, considering them, but I'm really not, because it's just a bunch of hooey, you know. But that opens up many doors, because we wouldn't be talking right now if they were just an undiscovered ape.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yep. I mean, because it would be, oh, well, we kind of saw those, and they've been talking about them for 50, 60 years, and, well, no, about 300 or 400 years, or maybe back to 1700s. You keep going back and further, you know, the Vikings.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name was. The big Viking guy. What was it? Leif Erikson.
Leif Erikson, yeah.
He wrote about it. So, I mean, it goes back. So, you know, there's something there, and you just have to, you can't just discard it. You got to just,
mm-hmm.
you have to, just, you know, don't you believe it, just consider it.
Love yep. it. Awesome.
You know what? We're past the time for break. Wow, this first half hour just went, woo, swinging by. So we are going to go to break. We will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para-X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para-X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction.
We are ready to scare you.
Para-X.
Demons. Vampires. Werewolves. Skinwalkers. All of this and more. Sunday nights at midnight. Staring into the Abyss radio show. Come, get lost with us.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network, and we have Carter Bouchard tonight with us, and he is an author and Sasquatch researcher, and we have had some really cool conversations the first half of the show, and more questions for you, Carter. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. All right. So we actually have one from the chat room, because as much as I would love to just start rattling off my questions, we should probably take questions from the chat room first. So. Let me get to the question in the chat room here. This is from Sherry. She's asking if Bigfoot can help the First Nations people reclaim more of their land. Do you think that's possible?
In a legal sense, probably not. But what is going to happen, you know, they believe, and I'm being schooled as we speak, that they are here to help humanity and the earth, mm-hmm. keeping us from destroying it. So it is likely that reparations would probably come to the First Nations people maybe a little sooner, and we wouldn't even know what was happening, but it would just happen. Mm. You know, it's happening now in courts anyway,
yep.
but something like that, that is their, one of their purposes on Earth is to keep us from raping and pillaging the land.
Yes.
And all our resources and killing each other. I mean, that sounds very hippy-dippy, but that is one of the reasons they are here, to protect us and to protect the planet.
Well, and you know what we found up here, Carter, and I don't know if you found it down there, but it seems like when there's clear cutting or the forest is being timbered way too much, mm-hmm. that's when Sasquatch sightings go through the ceiling. I mean, then suddenly they're there and they're like, you know, this is, what are you doing? And the First Nations people have all told me that too. He's like saying, what are you doing? You're killing me. You're killing you. You're killing the planet. Mm-hmm. So exactly what you said.
Yeah. And if I got a story for you,
yeah,
some other time or later.
Anyway, okay.
Question.
Okay. So I'm going to throw in a question here. And this one I got from your books. This one is about, it's from your first book, actually, counting, Bigfoot and counting. And so you have two theories on how they count. One is through the stick structures and how many are in their group. Correct. And then the other is keeping track of us when we're out in the woods.
Yep.
So I'm just interested if you could speak into a little bit more of that and, you know, maybe how you came about it or why you think that they do that.
Well, it was always kind of a theory because a lot of researchers can probably validate this. As soon as you pull up to an area and you get out of your car, bam, there's a knock or a rock clack.
Mm-hmm.
Humans in the area. I mean, it's just, you can talk to guys, and probably half of the researchers, if they're being honest or can actually remember listening, and one of the things you always do is turn on your recorder, because mm-hmm. as soon as you step out of your car, it's quite likely you're going to hear a knock. If there's two of you might hear a couple. Mm-hmm. They don't count all the time. But the thing that got me going on this county, which validated for me, and it happened many times since then, is I was leading an expedition here in Missouri. There were six people with my group, my night ops group, myself and my partner, Brian Woods, a fellow researcher, and four of the people in this expedition. We were all there. Six of us were sitting there by the lake, and we're listening to the rocks being thrown into the lake. It's a small private lake. We're listening to the rocks just throwing in and the splashing. And, you know, you could tell they're big rocks because they're giant splashes. They're not fishes. They're anyway. So we're sitting there by a fire, just listening to this and talking. And this one person there kept FaceTiming and doing all this stuff to irritate everybody and light up her face and just, you know, be frustrating. And so I left. I said, I'm going to go walk over here. You guys, y'all stay here. So I walked off. Kaploosh. So, okay, well, that's weird. I walked away and there's a splash. Okay. But we've been hearing splashes, so I thought nothing of it. So then I called my buddy Brian. I said, hey, why don't you come over here where I'm at and just come over here. He walks away. Kaploosh, kaploosh. Kaploosh, kaploosh, kaploosh. Kaploosh. Two people left the group of six. There's two and there's four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, I mean, that was all I needed. You know, the symbology, the numerology. I mean, Heidi, you guys probably know that better mm-hmm. than I would about the theory of numerology or how it translates. But that was just counting. And long story short, Brian and I ended up going back. Kaploosh, 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 kaploosh.
Because you were all back together.
Two groups of three. We're all back together.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah.
That's really
not a coincidence.
No, it's just not.
It can't be.
And there were six people there that witnessed it. You know, Brian and I caught on to it. They were just chatting around the fire, and we'd been listening to, you know, what attracted us over that area. First was what we thought was fish jumping. Well, that's interesting. But then we could hear that these giant rocks were being thrown in, is, you know, either for our attention or our benefit or signaling one another. We just happened upon this in mid action. So anyway, but they can count. I mean, that just told it to me. I've had it happen with a group of 11. Me and a guy, Brian, again, up in the UP, we pulled out from the back of this 11-man group. We're doing night ops, walking through the UP forest. There's 11 of us. We pull back to see, normally what you do is kind of pull back at night and wait in the woods a little bit, see if somebody's coming up behind you, which mm-hmm. is what they often do. So there's 11 of us, so you hear bam, 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 bam. Bam, bam, bam. Bam, bam. And there was 11 witnesses. You know, yeah. And, you know, I had to point it out to them the next morning at camp when we all go over all our stuff. But several other people went, oh, my God, that happened to us, you know, a mile away at this other place. I mean, you start thinking about it. So I don't think they do it all the time, but if there's a need to communicate that there are humans in the woods, and it's highly likely that maybe another clan needs to know this but doesn't, pop off a couple of knocks or rock clacks.
And if they're on the move, or maybe they have young ones, or they're doing something that they can't get out of whatever they're doing right away, so that it has to, you know, maybe they have to hide or something, like, who knows why, but it's an interesting, it's interesting, because I don't believe in coincidence, especially something like that. You know, you can't have 6 when there's 6. You can't have 11 when there's 11. That's intentional.
Yeah. And, you know, that night, the one I was telling you about, the 11, and then we pulled off, that night, a guy in that group was using a wood block as a wood knock. So it was really kind of a real hollow, like a horse clop, you know, like a coconut, the half coconuts half on the concrete. So it was just real, a certain sound. And the next morning, we took him to go, and 4 other people, 5 of us all together, to show them these structures I found, which are also in that book. They're really ornate, long thing. And we took him, and he was one of the ones that wanted to come. So the 2 expedition leaders, me and Brian, and this other guy, Jim Sherman. And so we went to this area, and we showed him. And when we pulled in, we walked in, sure enough, there's pop, 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 pop. There's 5 people. But it was the exact mimic of the sound of his woodblock from the night before.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So you cannot do that by picking up a random piece of wood unless you're doing it with your mouth, which I firmly believe that a lot of what we hear is either, you know, clicking or cheek popping or whatever, you know, or cupping and doing. I believe there's other things that can be done to mimic those sounds. But it was the exact... That has nothing to do with what does have something to do with counting, but it's also they were the same people, and they knew we were one of the guys was from the night before. He was the one that had the woodblock. Just bizarre. And I'm getting a chill when I tell this.
Because
when I tell some of my other events, I get chills, which tells me I'm on the right track. And other guys have told me the same thing. But they were communicating to one another about us right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're
cool.
Was that a woodpecker? Oh, I don't know, Martha. Let's go down to the creek. You know, and that's it. That's all you think. Isn't that crazy?
Yep. You got to listen. And going into that. So there are people, so in these groups, there are people that sit by the campfire and chat and whatever and blah, 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 sit on their phone, and then there's a couple that go out. So, you know, some researchers say you have to be very stealthy in the woods and you can't talk and you have to be completely quiet. And then some researchers, like my group, for example, we like to be loud, although there's always a couple of us that are really listening and maybe be away from the other ones that are doing this. What do you think is the best way to do it?
Be yourself.
Yeah, that's what I think.
You're out there, but when I'm out there, I am mentally talking to nature. I'm talking to the Sasquatch if they're there. Hey, if you guys are here, we mean no harm.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying it out loud. I'm thinking it because I know they can probably pick up on that. You know, it's you know, communication 101 for them. You know, if I am to believe that they have quantum skills or abstract skill sets, paranormal, whatever else, you know, if there's mind speak or telepathy, it works 2 ways. They can probably read things. I know that's tricky, but consider it, folks. Just consider it, you know. Yeah. So I would just be myself.
Yep.
Because, you know, if they want to get your attention, they will do something to make
absolutely. And we always offer offer tobacco, too, you know, because that always helps, too, I think.
Yeah.
You know, that's been taught to me for lots of years by First Nations people, you know, so.
M&Ms are a favorite too.
Yes. And what was the other one I heard? I don't know. Think about
candy
it.
Candy bars. Yeah. Is really a
mangoes. Candy. They like mangoes too.
From they like bananas. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Okay, we have another question in the chat room before I insert one of mine, because I do have more questions. But we will take a question from the chat room. This is Ceiling Cat, is asking, has anyone researched the tree knockings for any pattern, like a form of communication? So maybe even like Morse code, right? But not Morse code. I mean, I inserted that last part. But have they looked for any kind of pattern in the communication with the knocking that you're aware of?
I know of a guy in Oklahoma, and he's Native American. I've taken a couple of his reports. Pushmahada Mike. He's Ardmore, Anadarko area, Oklahoma. And I think there is some credence to that, but we just don't know what the code is. You know, I mean, if you were just to go, and I don't know Morse code, that's actually a really good question. But if you don't, you know, if you know Morse code, you might be able to break some of those down. But the knocks are usually in 1-2-1, 1-2-3, or you might get an occasional 1-2, bum bum bum, or you know, 5. So there's not a lot of code that can be in there. I mean, there could be. What if you do 2 knocks and then 4 instead of 1 and then 5, or if you do 5 first and then 1? So the sequence and the order. So yeah, that's. I haven't looked into that because I'm more of a visual guy and video guy than an audio guy. I know some audio guys that would be all over that. Monongahela, he's one guy that is top notch in the field of audio work, you know. And you know, I might post that question to him. In fact, I think I'm going to write that down because it's actually a pretty good question.
Awesome. Well, next time we have you on, maybe you'll have.
What the heck's wrong with you guys? You do your homework or something?
Listen, Carter, we have the best listeners on planet Earth. Seriously.
That was a good question. That really was a good question. You
know? Yeah.
And I'm first to admit if I can't answer it. So
there you go. Then you can tell us next time around.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, Heidi, next question.
Okay. So I have just a follow-up question to the one that I asked before about the number of sticks in a stick structure that you feel is equivalent to the number in the group that made the stick structure. Is that correct? Am I getting that correct?
I believe that's sometimes correct. Like, and here's why I'll stray from that, because the structure that I was taking that guy to show the next morning with the five hollow blocks, there was 5 structures, and it's in the first book. And, you know, they were arches and structures, very complex. Now, the arches only had 3 trees that were bent over. You know, there was the baby bear, the mama bear, and the papa bear. Little bitty loop, then a bigger loop, and then the big loop. So there's only 3 there. That one structure I had that was the long, it was about 15 feet long, and it had 2 X's suspended with 2 other, there's probably 10 sticks in that structure. So is it an exercise? Was it another clan that took this area? Because it bordered a creek. There was really, it's more like a river, but a creek, very private area. And then there was a couple that had 5 or 6 very huge trees, kind of interwoven, can't be random. So there's 5 or 6. So if I go by that theory totally, then that would be incorrect. Because, you know, if I say, well, that's another word, unless there was several clans passing through, it would be a great area for
like
fishing.
A bulletin board saying we were here and this is our clan, and there's 4 of us.
Those archers are just spectacular. I mean, you'd have to see them to, you know, to believe it. But and the welcome portal there, when you walked in, there was this big arch, and we've got a picture of myself walking through it with the sun. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. The sun was just coming up and coming through the trees. Mm-hmm. Very cool, rainbowy looking pictures. Really cool. Mm-hmm. It looked like it has effects, but it didn't have any. So, but I mean, as soon as you walk into this area, that's what you walk through, is this big arch. And then there's these 5 other structures and various degrees of, you know, complexity, you know, from the simple to very complex. Yeah. So maybe it is, like you said, a bulletin board, you know, but you can't say, well, I believe it to be true. If you see the same type structure over and over, that it's the same person doing it. So he's, you know, telling you there's 2 or 3 or 4, you know, because he's going to use the same interwoven techniques. You know what I mean? You notice from the same squatch,
Yeah.
Because if it's a complex like four more branches or twigs, they're going to be woven. And when you start seeing them woven pretty much the same way, that's the same guy.
Yeah.
Or girl. You know, that's the same person. So that would be, and I probably should have been more clear in the book, but that's what would be that's my telltale sign is that, but looking at it. But who does that? Who wastes their time looking at that stuff, you know?
I do
because I have no life. I have no life.
I was going to say, we do.
I have no life, so that's what I do. And you just, there's a pattern there. Not all the time, but there's some similarities. But it's in a habituation area where I go often. And it's a public place. It's a conservation area. But anybody can go there. But I think they know me. I've had two Class A reports published to BFRO from that area. I mean, within a mile. I had my Class A nighttime sighting with my partner and another person about 2 miles down the road on the Kern River. Walked right up to us, like 35 feet away. It was in the middle of the night, and I don't think it knew we were there. But anyway, my whole point is, you know, that, you know, I think they do let you know, Squatch to Squatch, hey, this is Bob. This is Bob the Squatch. Hey, I was over here, you know. And if you start seeing the same ones, and you can tell if you really look.
Sure.
Not all, but some of them.
Yeah, sure. It's maybe like a signature or something. Or
something.
That's cool.
Absolutely. And the theory, I don't say
it is
the gospel. It's cool. It's everything I've said is a theory. But see how much more theory you have when you got an open mind?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, you know? I love it. I love it. Because we've looked at those arches for years and said, and the X's, I always say X marks the spot. I never dreamt that maybe it was supposed to be a male. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I always say, X marks the spot.
Mm-hmm. And there's others that are going to say, well, you know, that could be peace, could be welcome. Could be symbol for home.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is they're communicating to others.
Yes.
And maybe
absolutely
a few of us, if we're just paying attention, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
That's very cool.
It's very cool. And, you know, when you find that you dedicated a lot of one of the chapters to the stick structures and where there's more than one. And, you know, at our research area, there's an area where there used to be, gosh, Heidi, how many were there at one time? It was quite a few.
12.
At least 12. And they were kind of in a circular kind of, we always said, geez, maybe this is the portal inside here or something, you know. And
Stonehenge in the forest. Mm-hmm.
Right? Right. And then some of the stick structures were like the little ones that you put in there. And we named them starter structures, you know, maybe built by children squatches, you know. And then there were
super big ones.
Yeah, and then there were some, they were all different looking, though. You know what I mean? So, and some of them now have disappeared, right? So they just haven't kept them up, or they've just let the forest reclaim them. I'm not really sure. But
yeah, it's weird, though, when they disappear, because there's no branches laying down at the base of the tree or at the base of whatever it was all kind of stacked up against.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not there. Nothing is laying on the ground that makes it look like they just got blown over by the wind.
Yeah, no.
Maybe they recycle.
Maybe
that's what we're wondering.
Or they're actually about the right size for kindling, so humans could take them and burn them up.
Where we go.
Not where we go. It's a wild.
Either way, it's recycling. You know, either way, it's a form of recycling. You know.
Yeah. If I would believe Sasquatch would take it and take it. Well, what we thought, Steph, remember, was we thought that they started taking them down because we found their location.
Yes.
And they moved.
It could be that.
They moved their location.
I'll tell you this real quick.
There was a lot of activity across this wetland, remember?
We have time for me to tell you this one quick story.
Yeah.
Okay. It's about the forest workers. My guy in Canada was on a forest crew. It was about 12 guys, and they had to go replant a logged area. It's in British Columbia in the boonies, like boonies on steroids. They're out in the middle of nowhere. There's not even a road to get where they're going. So they drop off the crew. There's six guys, and they get out, and the other six run over the hill because they're the macho hunter guys, and they want to go see if they can go further into the woods and maybe see some game. There's no guns, but they just want to see if they see some. You know, maybe it's a future hunting spot. So anyway, so my guy is in the crew that just gets out of the van, and they just kind of start scouring the area right here because there is a big clearing area where it needs to be planted. And all of a sudden, they just start going crazy, euphoric, giddy, euphoric beyond reason. They were just dancing and just having the greatest time out of nowhere, like they're tripping. Well, they look down on the ground, and there's hundreds and hundreds of footprints. Sasquatch footprints. Wow. Big, huge prints from 10 inches to 25.
Wow.
And in this one little area, the dirt and sand was falling back into the footprints. That's how close they came to seeing these guys.
Wow.
But they were in this euphoric, crazed state. And that went on for about 15, 20 minutes. They were just like laughing and giggling, so happy. It was just crazy. And then out of nowhere, over the hill, where those six guys had ran back into the woods. I can talk. They come running over the hill. They're screaming, yelling, falling down. Their hair is standing out on end. Mm-hmm. Some of these guys had foot and a half long hair. It was standing out. Some guys had burr haircuts. You could see the goosebumps, but everybody's hair, and they were trying to pat it down, and it'd spring back up. They were totally freaked.
Wow. You know?
And they ran right by my guy's group, and they, a couple of them ran down the road, and they couldn't find them. They never saw them again. You know.
Oh.
So the manager goes and does retrieve one of the guys and brings him back. And so then he starts going, "What are you guys talking about? What happened? What's going on with you guys? How come you're not working?" And they were all still kind of giddy, and the other guys had their hair hanging out. And he was sitting there going, "What's wrong with you? What happened?" Then he goes over there, and he starts getting giddy. And, you know, long story short, they drive back down to where they picked him up in the first place, and they're all, the guys that were just euphoric, they were snickering and laughing at these guys with their hair sticking out in the van, because it was still, I mean, literally, it looked, it was comical looking. And when they got down there, the manager talked to each one of them, and each one of them told them the same story. And basically, you don't say a word. This never happened. You say a word, you're fired. Mm-hmm. Or worse. Not a threat of violence, but like, you'll never work again. Mm-hmm. And so half of that crew never came back. The other half that did come back, because they wanted to work, the next day or the next week, they took one guy from each of the five or six guys that did come back and put them each on a separate crew so they couldn't mm-hmm. talk. Mm-hmm. And warned them again, you talk, you're done, you're fired. Mm-hmm. So that happens in the forestry world.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If this is even remotely a shock to you. But, I mean, he was on the crew, you know. And there was a Native American crew that was hanging around this bar, and they were part of his larger group but not part of this group. And they were at a bar drinking. It's where everybody hung out. And everybody was laughing at him and snickering and just making fun of him. And they called him the hash crew for, you know, you guys must have been smoking dope.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was laughing except the Native Americans.
Right.
Wow.
We have to go tell our elders.
Yes, absolutely.
But everybody was mocking them. And there was the elders, you know, the indigenous peoples up there. I mean, he said they were the best crew. They were best planners, the best workers. They worked in a crew of only their tribe.
Mm-hmm. You're the best.
Yes. So anyway, I just threw that out there because, and that's going to be in the book, but it is
cool.
Their hair. You know, I wish I could mimic it because I don't have any, you know. Yeah,
there you go. Like this. Yeah.
I could do it. Hers is all tied up right now. Yeah. She's all beautiful and everything.
Oh, gosh.
But that is just a crazy, that happened. And that's like real stuff. And there's like 12 witnesses to that, plus the foreman and plus the manager.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Gosh, I know. You know what? We have to go.
I thought
we're
I
out
saw
of time.
Earlier.
We so need sorry. More time.
Yes, we do need more time. We will definitely, when the second book comes out, Carter, you let us know right away so that we can have you on. And I know you have the books, so go to Carter's website. You can get them both, or you can get the new ones soon, too.
Yeah.
So thank you, Carter, for being on tonight. This was so awesome.
Thank you.
It was so fun. A lot of good energy. I'm sorry I took up so much time.
No, it was great.
I thought she's trying,
love
to put
the stories.
She's trying to kill a bug on her arm.
No. And we will, like I said, maybe later this year we'll come back and we'll do it. But anyway, thank you for being on, Carter. We put a couple of different links on the chat room, and we'll put them on our Facebook page, too. But hey, thanks, everyone, for listening tonight, and thank you to the troops for listening, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thanks for your questions, too. Those were awesome questions. And awesome. Everybody that's listening out there, wherever you are, thank you so much for tuning in, and stay safe. Para X, thank you so much for hosting us, and Sarge, our most amazing producer, thank you as well. We love being here every week. Next week, we will be back with Kristen Barton. She'll be joining us next week.
Yay! All right, everyone. Exciting.